On the live line, I have one who has championed the cause of Haiti way before this earthquake and ever since, who has called for some real action here in terms of the elections and in terms of relief, and that is the fighting congresswoman from California. She sits in Congress, officially representing the 35th District of California, but she represents all of us, Congresswoman Maxine Waters. In California, they call them Maximum Waters. How you doing, Congresswoman?
Hello, Reverend Sharpton. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm very appreciative for the attention that you're giving to Haiti on this one-year anniversary of the earthquake. And I had an opportunity to hear some of what you said, and you're absolutely right. Not much progress is taking place at all. The camps still have about 1.5 million people in them. You're right. The rates go on. The conditions are not sanitary. They still don't have potable water and water systems. And really, Reverend Sharpton, this is a governance problem. You know, we can do all of the humanitarian assistance we can do from the United States, Canada, France, and other places, but when are we going to stop and give the technical assistance to help Haiti get a government together that can function? That election is a fraud, and it should be voided. And we've got to do everything that we can to help Haiti get a democratically elected government so that it can govern itself. That's what it boils down to.
Now, to give us what happened that made this election less than credible that they just went through.
Well, there are several things. First of all, this election is governed by something called the CEP. The CEP is constitutionally mandated in Haiti to represent all sectors of the society. The president manipulated the appointments of the CEP so that he could get all of his people in because he wants to elect his candidate. He did not allow 15 credible parties to be on the ballot, the biggest of which is Lavalas, the biggest political party in Haiti. They just won't let them get on the ballot because they're afraid that they will win. So in addition to hand-picking and manipulating the CEP people and not letting political parties on the ballot, the people in the camps, the 1.5 million people in the camps, many of them didn't have any ID cards because they were lost. They were destroyed in the earthquake, and they didn't get any new cards, and they couldn't be they wouldn't allow them to vote. And some who had their cards went to the polling places. They could not find their names there. And since that time, I have been able to get some of the results, the computer results, the counting from each of the polling places where you see where, for example, somebody got one vote or two votes. It was recorded as 100 or 200 votes. And so, in addition to mistakes, there's been manipulation, the exclusion of political parties, and the non-distributing of ID cards. And stuffing of the ballot boxes have been reported, too. There are a number of organizations, one, the biggest one in Washington, D.C., that's documented a lot of this, in spite of the fact some people tried to whitewash it, like the OAS and even my friends in CARICOM, just basically said, well, it wasn't so bad, but it was bad.
Now, you've been involved, Congresswoman Waters, for many years in fighting for Haiti, fighting for the democratization of Haiti, for the proper aid and trade. And when former democratically elected President Aristide was ejected with the help of this government from Haiti. So a lot of the weak infrastructure that was the underpinning for the devastation there was because of years and years of bad policy, including foreign policy from this country.
Absolutely. We certainly have to take responsibility for what had happened in Haiti when we were supporting Papa Doc and Baby Doc, and we even had some ex-CIA people who had been involved in Haiti who ended up being business people down there. Haiti has been exploited. And when President Aristide came in, he really, really confronted the industrialists and the elite down there, and he wanted minimum wage. He wanted to stop the practice of getting young girls from the hills coming to work for the elite, for no pay, basically in slavery. He wanted to basically put more money into education. They fought him tooth and nail, as you can remember. They first ousted him, and President Clinton helped to restore him back into power. He got back in power, having the same struggles. The United States did not support him. He was a libertarian theologist who really believed in the power of the people. He was speaking Creole to the people for the first time. When Baby Doc and Papa Doc and them were in power, they ignored the people speaking in French. They never cared about empowering the people. They had their foot on the neck of the people in order to support the elite and the power class with the money. So it has been in trouble for a long time. Many of us had great hopes when he was restored, President Aristide was restored to power. But the undermining, which included the support from the United States, because the power elite comes to the United States, and they're the ones who connect with the government and describe to the United States government what should and should not be. And for some reason, we've always had them connected to members of Congress who are doing their bidding. So they finally pulled the coup d'etat and ousted him, as you know, and he ended up in the Democratic Republic of Central Africa Republic, rather. And, of course, we went up and got him. Randall Roberts and I and two more people took him back down to Jamaica, where at that time B.J. Patterson was the president, and he kept him until Mbeki was reelected, and now he's in South Africa working in the university. Would love to come home, but they won't let him come back. They fear him because he is, a liberation theologist and want to liberate the people and have a democratic government, and that means he has to take on the elite and some of the foreign powers in order to do it.
Well, we certainly a year later have a lot of work to do, including turning around this fraudulent election and making sure the people get service, but we couldn't start off the discussion today or head to the UN without talking to you, because you've been a knight of shining armor for the people of Haiti, as you have all across Black America. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, thank you, Congresswoman.
Thank you so much, Reverend Charlton, and I appreciate the moment of silence you're doing out there today with all the people.
Thank you.